gathers a little posy from a garden full of roses. But the stories I have chosen to tell are those that I hope children will love best to hear. Let us remember that God has given to all of us, little children as well as grown-up people, a place in His garden here on earth, and He would have us take these white flowers, the lives of His saints, as a pattern for our own. We may not be set where all can see us. Our place in God's garden may be a very humble and sheltered spot. But, like the saints, we may keep our faces ever turned upward and learn to grow, as they grew, like their Master, pure and straight and strong, fit flowers to blossom in the garden of God. Saints are like roses when they flush rarest. Saints are like lilies when they bloom fairest. Saints are like violets, sweetest of their kind. End of the introduction. Chapter 1 of In God's Garden. In God's Garden by Amy Steedman. Chapter 1. Saint Ursula. Once upon a time in the land of Brittany there lived a good king whose name was Theonatus. He had married a princess who was as good as she was beautiful, and they had one little daughter whom they called Ursula. It was a very happy and prosperous country over which Theonatus ruled, for he was a Christian, and governed both wisely and well. And nowhere was happiness more certain to be found than in the royal palace where the king and queen and the little princess Ursula lived. All went merrily until Ursula was 15 years old, and then a great trouble came, for the queen, her mother, died. The poor king was heartbroken, and for a long time even Ursula could not comfort him. But with patient tenderness she tried to do for him all that her mother had done, and gradually he began to feel that he still had something to live for. Her mother had taught Ursula with great care, and the little maid had loved her lessons, and so it came to pass that there was now no princess in all the world so learned as Princess Ursula. It is said that she knew all that had happened since the beginning of the world, all about the stars and the winds, all the poetry that had ever been written, and every science that learned men had ever known. But what was far better than all this learning was that the princess was humble and good. She never thought herself wiser than other people, and her chief pleasure was in doing kind things and helping others. Her father called her the light of his eyes, and his one fear was that she would some day marry and leave him alone. And true it was that many princes wished to marry Ursula, for the fame of her beauty and of her learning had spread to far distant lands. Now on the other side of the sea, not very far from Brittany, there was a country called England. The people there were strong and powerful, but they had not yet learned to be Christians. The king of that land had an only son called Conan, who was as handsome as he was brave. And when his father heard of the fame of the Princess Ursula, he made up his mind that she should be his son's wife. So he sent a great company of nobles and ambassadors to the court of Brittany to ask King Theonatus for the hand of the Princess Ursula. The king received the messengers most courteously, but he was very much troubled and perplexed at the request. He did not want to part with Ursula, and he knew she did not wish to marry and leave him. And yet he scarcely dared offend the powerful king of England, who might be such a dangerous enemy. So to gain time he told the messengers he would give them their answer next day, and then he shut himself up in his room, and sorrowfully leaned his head upon his hand, as he tried to think what was best to be done. But as he sat there thinking, the door opened, and Ursula came in. "Why art thou so sad, my father?" she asked. "And what is that that troubleth thee so greatly?" "I have this day received an offer for thy hand," answered her father sadly. "And the messengers are even now here, and because they come from the King of England I dare not refuse their request, and yet I know not what answer to give them when they return in the morning." "If that is all, do not trouble thyself, dear father," answered Ursula. "I myself will answer the messengers, and all will be well." Then the princess left her father and went to her own room that she might consider what answer might be wisest to send. But the more she thought, the more troubled